A Simple Thing, written by Iridan, read by Marianas. Chapter 27. Ridur.
I thought you were kidding, Bobo repeated, staring up at the sky. His voice sounded very far away. Din stared too. He couldn't understand what he was seeing. It didn't make any sense. He'd last seen the light cruiser in orbit over Nar Shaddaa. Koska Reeves had brought Din down planetside there, had waved him off, and then she'd taken her shuttle back up into Atmo. The light cruiser had waited for her and then had jumped away to hyperspace while Din had turned and gone about the business of finding himself a charter to Tatooine. The light cruiser had been dark gray then, its hull the same unremarkable uniform color as every other Imperial Star Destroyer. Din was sure it had given the denizens of Nar Shaddaa shock when it had appeared in their skies. But now the light cruiser's wedge-shaped belly was painted a pristine, gleaming white. Its edges had been lined with crisp black paint, and thick blue stripes marched down the hull in bold, interlocking patterns. The colors reminded Din of Bo-Katan Kryze's armor. When did she find the time to paint a starship? Din managed to think, a little dazed. But I've been gone for weeks, he realized. She had all kinds of time. Din had left the light cruiser and had done his best to avoid thinking about it since. He didn't know what Bo-Katan had been doing since she'd agreed to let him go above Nar Shaddaa. Even in the days before Din had slipped away to come to Tatooine, he hadn't known much about what Kryze was doing. She'd come back from their expedition to Mandalore and had more or less locked herself in a stateroom. If she emerged to eat or talk to the others, she hadn't done it when Din had been around. They'd all gone to Mandalore together, Din and Kryze and Hertal Vode. Mandalore itself was in Rim space, still in contested territory between the Remnants and the New Republic, but with the Light Cruiser's firepower on their side, Kryze had been confident that they'd be able to fight off any imps still in orbit or on the planet's surface. There hadn't been anyone on the surface. There had been one Remnant ship. A battered, retrofitted Venator II class that had put up a token fight when the light cruiser had dropped into sublight, but it had been limping along in orbit above Mandalore even before Kryze had hit it with everything she had. Venator-class Star Destroyers had been outdated before the Empire had fallen. The one above Mandalore hadn't had a chance. It had taken 2 or 3 minutes of sustained fire, its shields flickering as they failed, and then it had quietly slid, smoking, down beneath Mandalore's ashen atmosphere and crashed into the wastes below. That was all the resistance that the Empire had put up. It hadn't even fired off any escape pods. Din remembered being surprised at that. The Empire had fought harder on Nevarro, until he'd gone down with Kryze and had stood on Mandalore for himself. There was nothing left on Mandalore for the Empire to guard or protect. Even the domed cities, Sundari and Kaldabe and Ansari and Brasin, names Din hadn't even known at the time, had been left in ruins. The few forests and the grasslands that had once, if the stories were right, been home to mythosaurs and moth owls and iron wolves had all been burned to glass. Even the Beskar mines had been abandoned. The Empire had dug them dry and then caved them in, leaving nothing but deep scars and pools of poisoned slag behind. They'd still checked the cities, Din and Bo-Katan. She'd piloted, and he'd stared out the viewport, stunned. The domes had all been blown open, letting in poisonous air. Some horrible weapon had been used to vaporize warriors in their armor. Even the Imperial Academy in Sundari had been destroyed, and from what Din had seen, it hadn't been evacuated before the bombs started falling. Kryze had insisted on checking the rest of the planet, a fevered light in her eyes, just to make sure that there wasn't an underground resistance or a pocket of survivors left. But the planet had been empty. If there'd been any survivors, they'd left Mandalore a long time ago. Din had never seen destruction like that before. He'd never seen death on such a scale. After they'd gone back to the light cruiser, Kreese had been quiet, subdued. Din had left her on the cruiser while he'd gone with Koska and Woves to check Mandalore's moons for signs of life, but the moons had been desolate too. Clearly, Din thought, still staring up at the ship, something's changed. Something had reinvigorated Kreese, or had at least prompted her to spend enough clink to bother painting the light cruiser, stamping it as hers instead of Moff Gideon's. Unease crawled its way up from the bottom of Din's stomach. Why is she here? He wondered. Why now? No, Din said, voice distant as he stared up at the light cruiser's belly. I wasn't kidding. But I didn't do this, he said. He tore his eyes away from the shape of the ship and looked at Boba. I didn't ask her to come here, Din said. Boba was quiet for a long moment. She'll be here for you, then, he said. Din frowned. What do you mean? Boba finally looked away from the light cruiser, and Din got a good look at him from outside the haze of confusion and fighting in the throne room. The careful paint job Boba had given his armor while Din had watched had all gone to waste. There was a long, shiny scratch across the chest plate from shoulder to hip. His helmet was peppered with half a dozen black carbon burns. One gauntlet was askew, like someone had tried to pry it loose, and the other gauntlet was flecked with drying blood. You said you'd help her, didn't you? Boba asked. With whatever carking Jerish plot she's cooked up. With her quest to reclaim Mandalore, Din said, still frowning. Yeah. Boba snorted. Reclaim Mandalore, he muttered derisively. She knows there's nothing there, right? Yeah, she knows, Din said. And she's still on about it? I don't know, Din admitted. I left a few days after we got back from the Mandalore sector. You'd calmed, and she hadn't told me what she wanted to do. I don't think she'd realize just how bad it was. On Mandalore, I mean. Boba grunted. I told you, he said. The Empire glassed it all. Didn't even wait to fully evacuate their own people, from what I heard. Some ISB decision. They didn't want to give the Mandalorian insurgency any chance to get off planet. So how did Kreese survive? Din asked. That I don't know, said Boba. Kreese, I'm sure Death Watch had its own ways in and out of the cities. The Undercity, maybe, if she was in Kaldabe or Sindari when the Empire came. Mandalore was an old planet. It spent more than its fair share of time occupied by hostiles. There were plenty of ways on and off. Did you ever go? Din asked, a vague suspicion forming in his mind. Boba talked like he'd been there, like he had used one of the secret ways on and off the planet at least once. I hadn't. I never went, Din added. Not when it was whole. There was some talk about going when I was a kid, right after I was picked up by the Fighting Corps, but we went underground soon after. I didn't see it until I went with Kreese. The Lord had been firmly against any talk of visiting Mandalore. A few of the older warriors had kept bolt holes on the planet, old clan strongholds, places to hide in Mandalore's more wild north, but the Lord had thought it too dangerous to go with the Empire occupying the planet. Boba was quiet again, looking up at the light cruiser's belly. As they watched, the ship pulled away from Tatooine a little, retreating back into the vacuum of space. It grew smaller and smaller until the bold lines crisscrossing its hull were indistinct, the shape of the ship more a shadow than a present threat. But it didn't jump away into hyperspace. She wants something, Din thought. It wasn't in Bo-Katan Kreese's nature to help another for no reason, even a Na'dodat like Boba. She might not know that Boba's her Na'dodat either, Din thought. Din was the only connection between the two. Din was Boba's and Kreese's ally both, and didn't intend to let the two of them get into it with each other, but Kreese didn't know that yet. I went once, Boba said finally, his voice flat. A long time ago. I went to Kaldabe. The capital? The old capital, Boba corrected. The neutral Mandalorians use Sindari. What was it like? Din asked. He knew better than to ask Boba why he'd gone, and he didn't look at Boba again, keeping his eyes on the light cruiser. Distantly, Din wondered how many beings on Tatooine had seen the light cruiser in their skies. How many were panicking, wondering whether the Empire had come back to take hold of their planet again. "It wasn't what I wanted it to be," said Boba, more frankly than Din had thought he would. He didn't elaborate. Din saved that scrap of information for another time. "I didn't think it was what Kreese wanted either," Din murmured. Boba stiffened. "Was it what you wanted?" There was a bit of bite in Boba's voice now, a low current that warned of danger. Din just shrugged. The motion jarred something on the left side of his chest, pain prickling through the haze of battle focus still wrapped around him like a shroud. "I didn't want it to be anything," Din said. "It didn't. I'd never been. It never meant anything to me. Our covert, we didn't care about it. We knew that it was occupied, that it wouldn't be safe for us, so we just didn't think about it." Din had come from another planet, another place, but he'd still been Mandalorian because he followed the creed. The planet Mandalore had been a vague idea at best, a thing of the past or a story. Their allure had encouraged them all to leave the past behind. Boba grunted again, a wet sound. Din snuck another look at him out of the corner of his eye. Boba looked all right, singed and battered, but not injured in any way that Din could see. "That doesn't mean that he's not hurt." "She's not here to help me," Boba said. "And she's had her chance to glass me, so she's here for you. Unless there are other Mandalorians you think she'd be after." "She was willing to lend you a hand," Din pointed out, trying not to bristle at Boba's dark tone. Din wasn't. He was still struggling to understand Boba's animosity. It made sense at first glance. If Kreese had been part of Death Watch, she'd once been Boba's enemy, or at least Boba's father's enemy, and Boba loved his father. Din knew that Boba had inherited things from Jango Fett. Armor, a ship, a shadow, and enemies. Din didn't understand that. Kreese had been Death Watch, and Death Watch had been Boba's father's enemy, but that didn't mean that she was Boba's enemy. She wasn't Tor Vizsla, and Boba wasn't Jango Fett. Kreese wasn't Death Watch anymore, even Boba had admitted that. The Separatist droids that had killed Din's own father weren't... They weren't an enemy that Din wanted Grogu to inherit. Din would happily pass on the rest to his son. His armor, the fly, everything Din knew about how to survive in the galaxy. But he didn't want Grogu to inherit Din's enemies. This, Din thought, a headache beginning to push hard against the back of his right eye as his thundering adrenaline began to run its course and drain away, could get messy. If Boba hated Bo-Katan and Bo-Katan hated Boba, "I'm in the middle, and I don't know if I can stay in the middle." "I don't want her down here," Boba said decisively, jerking Din out of his thoughts. He looked at Din again. She did help," he admitted, slowly, grudgingly, like each word was a sore tooth being pulled. Boba gestured at the wreckage of the shuttles. "That's fine. Better than anything I'd thought to expect from her. But I don't want her down here. Not like this. We've got to clean up, secure the palace. Someone needs to check on Mos Pelgo and Wayfar, make sure the outposts weren't hit at the same time. Gorga will have more paid killers planetside, and they'll need finding. I am not in the mood for diplomacy." "Are you ever?" Din asked, trying to tease, but it fell a little flat. Boba didn't laugh. Din sighed and sobered. "I don't really want her down here either," he muttered. He thought of Paz and the Ferdike, the kids. Strill and Jag were tolerant enough of Din and Boba. Paz was at least willing to stay out of Din's way while he recovered. Din sincerely doubted that his tolerance would extend to more Mandalorians who didn't follow the creed. I'll go see what she wants," Din decided. "Then get her to clear out, at least for now. She's probably causing a panic in Mos Eisley while we stand here talking about it." "Of course she is," Boba grumbled. But he hesitated. "You'll go now?" he asked. "I should," said Din. Boba was quiet for a second. "Do you want me to wait?" Din prompted. "Want to hail her? I was going to go before she could send someone down here. She's still got Reeves and Woves with her, or she did last time I saw them all. Din's adrenaline was fading, the fight draining out of his blood, but he was still sharp enough to think on his feet. I don't want to leave. It went against Din's nature to leave Boba like this. To leave Fennec. She'd been hurt. Nora had probably been frightened. Din had seen her shooting, but he'd also seen her struggling, fighting for her life. Zhaig had come to help, too, which meant that Strill and Paz were probably braced for the worst, ready to fight to the death to keep the kids safe. The palace had been attacked. There might still be enemies hiding, waiting for a chance to strike. All of Din's instincts were bent towards rooting out the rest of Gorga's people, to making sure that Din's people were all safe. But Boba's here, Din told himself firmly. He's here, and he'll keep things under control. And Boba wasn't the only one Din owed something to. He'd sworn to help Kreese first. It didn't matter that Din liked Boba considerably more than he liked Kreese, that he and Boba hadn't had any plans for the night exactly, but had maybe been dancing around having plans. Din had been looking forward to it at least half as much as he'd been dreading it. I swore to help Kreese, too, Din thought. I gave her my word that I would help her. Do you want me to wait? Din asked again, when a long minute dragged by and Boba still hadn't said anything. I don't want you to go at all, said Boba, frankly. I don't like this. I don't want you on your own up there.
I wouldn't be on my own, Din said. Kreese, she's not my enemy.
Koska would be there, Din hoped, and with her, Axe Woves. Even though they were both Kreese's people, they'd been decent enough to Din while he'd been on the light cruiser with them. She's not your friend, said Boba darkly. But then he sighed. Will she send someone down here, do you think?
Probably.
Din didn't know what Kreese wanted, but he knew that she wasn't exactly the type to wait around for someone to ask. She'd give Din a few minutes to hail her or start climbing up into the sky, and if he didn't, she'd be sure to register her impatience.
I don't want you to go, Boba repeated, softer.
The sound of it was almost lost to the noise of the desert, wind and shifting sands, the hiss and crackle of an electrical fire burning and one of the crashed hunter killers.
But I don't want her in my sky, either.
I'll go, then, Din said decisively. I don't know what she wants, but whatever it is doesn't have to happen immediately. I'll go see what she's after, then I'll come back.
Are you all right to go? Boba pressed.
His shoulders were still straight, his stance good, ready for another fight. But Din could see that Boba was coming down off the edges of adrenaline, too.
You took a good couple of hits. I saw that Deveronian take you down.
I'm all right, Din assured him. He knocked his knuckles against his helmet. It was hard to get an accurate sense of all Din's bumps and bruises, with his body still half ready to draw the darksaber again, but Din was pretty sure he wasn't about to die. He continued to ignore the pain in his side that had sharpened from a prickle to something more urgent.
Or I will be all right, Din continued, strongly.
Kree should still have that medroid aboard, and I'll bring it back with me, he added, thinking. Fennec had had blood on her face. Several of Boba's guards had been lying still, unmoving. Paz could stand a visit from a programmed professional, even if he'd never liked droids much either.
That's not a bad idea, said Boba, grudgingly.
He made a tired, considering noise in the back of his throat. If she makes you barter for it, tell her I've got a copy of Mandalore the Vindicated. I'll be willing to trade it for medical assistance.
Mandalore the Vindicated? Din asked, confused.
He heard Boba grimace behind his helmet.
An old book, he said. An actual book, too, not a holophile. Bound in Chatois leather, I think. Mandalore the Vindicated was... He was a king a long time ago. Kreese ought to be interested. He wasn't a Mandalore most were keen to remember.
Where'd you find a book about a Mandalorian king? Din asked, his confusion shifting towards genuine curiosity.
Did Mandalorians keep books? He wondered. Data files? Histories?
The Jedi, Din had learned, had kept their holocrons. He still opened the holocron almost every day to run through forms with the darksaber.
But Dan had never stopped to wonder if something like a holocron existed for Mandalorians. All of the history Dan had learned had been spoken to him. It was in Jabba's pile of old Kung, Bubba said, waving a hand. Like the holocron. The worm was probably given it as a tribute, or he stole it. Either way, he forgot about it down there. Not much of it is still readable, but she'll want it if you offer it to her.
Why?
Bubba snorted. So no one else can have it, he said. Din frowned a little, but he didn't really know Bo-Katan all that well, so he couldn't judge if Bubba was being fair to her or not. If she puts up a fight about me taking the droid, Din said, the words pulled out of him, too, I'll offer it to her. Something about the idea of using a piece of history like a pile of credits bothered Din. He didn't know what it was, and he didn't really have time to parse it out, but it itched at him. He didn't like it. If I only did what I liked, I'd never get anything done, Din thought, a phrase he'd learned from Palish Vizsla years and years ago. Palish had hated leaving the covert for weeks or months at a time, but he'd done it to feed them all. Bubba sighed. We'll manage here, he said. He reached out and caught Din's elbow. His grip was strong and steady. Don't let her haul you off without coming back to check in, Bubba ordered. I'm not going to leave with her, Din assured him. He reached back and caught Boba's elbow too, in a warrior's traditional greeting and goodbye. I'll see what she wants, then I'll come back. If she wants to make a move on the Empire or check out another colony world, that's something I'll figure out later. Din had his own ship now. If Kreese wanted to check another Mandalorian colony world or wanted to hunt remnants, Din could always meet her somewhere else. You don't have to stay with us, Duren, Bubba said. Din rolled his eyes and tightened his grip. His right arm protested, but he pushed through it. This was important. I'm not leaving, he repeated. We don't know if Gorga's going to try again, he pointed out. And Paz and the others are still here. I don't want to leave them until I can get them moved somewhere out of the way. Gorga the Hutt wasn't likely to know about Boba's contentious relationship with other Mandalorians. Kark, Din thought, he probably doesn't know about me and my situation with other Mandalorians. Gorga wouldn't know that Boba didn't really care about Paz and the Verdike. He might try to get at them to hurt Boba. To hurt Din, who was openly and publicly at Boba's side. I'm not gonna let that happen. Kreese would. Well, Din didn't know if she'd understand or not. He really didn't know much about her at all, though Bubba told him more. But she was honorable enough. She'd kept her word with Din. She probably wouldn't like that Din had sworn himself to Bubba's quest just like he'd sworn to hers, but Din hoped that she'd at least understand it. That she'd know that Din wouldn't break his word with her or with Bubba either. Bubba sighed again, though his shoulders slumped a little, like he was relieved and trying not to show it. You sure she's your ally? He asked. Din shrugged. A flicker of pain spiked through him again, but he ignored it. She's not my enemy, anyway, he said. He tilted his head in the direction of the wrecked ships. And she did help. Bubba grunted. She did help, he said. Just be careful. He finally let go of Din. I won't be long, Din promised. He hesitated. Will you check on the kids, on Paz? Bubba nodded. I will, he said. Good. I won't be up there for more than an hour or two. You taking the fly? I am. Be careful, Bubba repeated. Din nodded. You too. He didn't know what else to say. Anything that Din could have said was caught in his throat, trapped in his chest. Worry and fear, a reluctance to leave. Standing here, looking up at Kreese's ship, Din realized why Bubba had, back at the start of all this, tried to insist on a separation between them. We're past that now, Din thought wryly. He and Bubba hadn't taken the time to sit and work out new rules to define the relationship between them, but Din knew that they wouldn't be able to fall back into the pattern of things they'd had before. Things were too complicated now. Hey, Bubba said, voice softening. You remember how to say goodbye in Mandoa? Din blinked, a little thrown. Boba hadn't kept up their little Mandoa lessons in the 2 weeks since they'd gone to Arcanus. He'd thought absently that Boba would stop now that he knew that Din wasn't a Mandalorian.
Retour chez me, Din said.
Right, Boba said. Retour chez me. We'll be fine down here. If you run into more trouble, we'll make some noise so you can bring the cruiser back around, Boba assured Din. He hesitated visibly, his helmet stuttering a little. Din eyed him. What? Din asked, wary again. Boba hesitated, then shook his head. Don't tell Kreese that you're Darmanda, he said. Din froze. What? Don't tell her, Boba repeated. His voice was urgent and low. Din bristled. I'm not a liar, he said. Half of the problem 2 weeks ago had been that Din had lied. He'd kept the truth from Boba, and it had blown up in their faces. Din didn't want to do that again with Kreese. He hadn't been planning to open with the Darmanda conversation, but Kreese should know. Din was sworn to a request. It was important. Boba reached out again, and this time he caught Din's wrist. His fingers dug into the thick fabric of Din's kuta. Din, Boba said. You can't tell her. Why not? She was Death Watch, Boba said. She was the Duchess of Mandalore. She wants to be the Duchess again. She can be the Duchess, said Din, baffled. What does that have to do with... Oh, he said, understanding all at once. The Darksaber. Boba nodded. You have it, he said. You won it from your enemy. It's yours. That's... A threat to her claim, Din realized. Distant horror clawed at the edges of his mind. Din shut it out. He couldn't. I don't have time to think about it. I've offered her the Darksaber, Din protested. She can take it. I don't want it. I've told you that. I've told her that. She could have taken it from me 100 times. I was with her on the light cruiser for a month. She can't just take it, Boba shook his head. You won it. She can't just take it from you. You're a Mandalorian. The Darksaber can only pass between Mandalorians in battle. But I'm not Mandalorian, Din growled, resisting the urge to tug his wrist free. You know that. She doesn't, Boba said. Din huffed. So what? He snapped. You're saying if I tell her, she'll just kill me and take it away since I'm not Mandalorian anymore? Yes, said Boba. Din stared at him. She wouldn't, he said. We're allies. Reeves wouldn't let her. Reeves thinks you're Mandoad, too, Boba argued. Din, you know this. If you're not Mandalorian, what are you? Din scowled.
Arweti, Din said. The word itched in his mouth.
Boba nodded. What would you have done? He asked. When you were Mandalorian, and you saw an Arweti was something only a Mandalorian should have. Din thought of Vanth and Boba's Beskar. Din had been ready to shoot him in the street like a rabid Anuba. Cold sweat broke out down Din's back.
Oh, Din said.
Oh, Boba repeated grimly. I'm not... You don't want to lie to her, Boba said. That's honorable. Admirable, even. He said admirable with the same inflection as he might say something like Dikutla. But don't tell her, Din. Not without someone there to watch your back.
She wouldn't kill me, Din said, but it sounded unsure even to his ears.
Reeves and Woves wouldn't let her. They want to keep her honorable. She's their allure, Boba said, and I don't know any of them, but I knew Death Watch.
She isn't...
She was, said Boba. Wait to tell her until you've got someone you trust with you. Please.
Boba said please so rarely that Din could only stare at him in open shock. A stuttering silence fell between them. Boba's grip was hard. Din's own fingers were slack. The desert murmured.
All right, Din finally said once he'd gotten his voice back. I won't say anything. Not yet. Boba's grip tightened, almost to the point of pain. and then he let go. "Good," he said, relief heavy in his voice. "That's good. Thank you, Vorentia." "It's fine," Din said. I'll be quick. It'll be fine." Boba finally let him go. "All right," he said. He cleared his throat and shifted clumsily back to business. "Will you go over the palace before you go up to the block? I want to make sure the roof's clear." "Yes," Din said, relieved that they'd swung back around to something he could talk about. Din could handle business. He could handle the process of securing the palace, of picking off any of Gorga's remaining lackeys. He couldn't handle Boba saying please. "Retouche me, then," said Boba. His voice had steadied over the words. Din nodded, not trusting himself with the contours of Mandoa, and took off with a jetpack before Boba could say anything else, rising rapidly over the palace in a gout of sand and smoke. Out of the corner of his eye, he saw Boba staring up at him for a minute, a battered green shape getting smaller and smaller, and then Boba turned and went back inside. Din did a few tight circles over the palace, searching the nooks and valleys of the rooftop with keen eyes. The blast doors around Boba's rooms had been sealed. The rooftops were clear, mostly. There were a few grappling hooks swinging in the wind, but no one had made it all the way up. There were a few crumpled bodies at the base of the palace in black kit, but no enemies had made it to the rooftops and survived. Satisfied, Din made himself do one wider circle around the whole palace, going a click out before looping back in, and then dropped down to the ground in the landing bay. The Nuxin Bayguard was at his post, reeking the way Nuxins reeked and looking for all the galaxy like he hadn't noticed the chaos in the palace just a few minutes ago. Din snorted. He climbed into the fly and started takeoff protocols, then brought her up into the air and locked onto the light cruiser signal. Kreese had retreated far enough into space that she was outside of Tatooine's gravitational well. Keeping a ship as large as the light cruiser in Atmo, fighting gravity the whole time, burned a lot of fuel. Most large ships didn't get too close to a planet unless they had to. That meant that Din had probably a 20 or 30 minute trip in sublight, which meant that he had time to check himself over. The pain in his side was sharp and demanding now, and Din could feel other aches and pains too. Checking his injuries would give him something to do, something to think about that wasn't the way Boba's voice had caught, his urgency, his desperation. "Medkit," Din thought deliberately, crowding out the noise in his head. "Medkit? Then the rest of it." His shoulder throbbed where he'd hit the ground after the initial explosion. His arm hurt. He could still feel the Deveronian's fingers wrapped around his neck, Boba's fingers digging into the bones of his wrist. Boba paid Din well enough, in Beskar and Klink both, though he'd stopped paying Din and Beskar when Din had told him he was Darmanda. After Boba'd tried to pay him in the dark gray ingots and Din had flatly refused, that Din had been able to outfit the fly with pretty decent medical supplies, so he took the fly up and out of Atmo, then put her on autopilot, aimed at the light cruiser, and went rummaging through his collected supplies, undoing the seals and buttons of his kuta while he did so. Din's armor hadn't been compromised. The Beskar itself was fine, if scored here and there with burnt carbon, and the places the armor protected were mostly fine, too. Din would have a cuirass-shaped bruise on his chest in the morning, he knew, maybe some faint bruises on his face where he'd been shot and the Beskar had rattled against his skin, but that was the worst of it as far as his armor went. His throat was in worse shape, already red and inflamed. The Deveronian hadn't had enough time to dig the shape of his hand into Din's skin, but he'd definitely given it his best shot. Din grimaced and slathered some Beskar gel on his neck, wincing at the cold feel of it. He worked his way down, shifting aside bits of armor or peeling back more and more of his kuta as he went. He found the faint imprint of Boba's fingers at his wrist. A quick inspection told Din that it wouldn't bruise, but he left his wrist alone anyway. The red mark of Boba's thumb laid against the base of Din's own. He liked it, and with everything that had happened, he knew he wasn't likely to collect any more of Boba's marks on his skin anytime soon. The worst injury Din found was at his side. "Oh," he thought, looking down in some faint confusion at the blood streaking his skin. "I've been impaled." The wound was pretty bloodless, all things considered. A spar of dark saffy wood, 3 or 4 inches long, had embedded itself into Din's side just underneath his ribs. "Maybe from one of the tables," Din thought, still distantly confused. His side hurt, but it didn't hurt as badly as an injury like this should have. Din had been stabbed and impaled before. It was never pleasant. Din snorted to himself, wry again. I must be getting better at handling pain. This bar of wood was not, fortunately, very wide. It had gone in at an angle, probably when the flash grenade had gone off, its coupled concussion wave splintering through the throne room. It hadn't bled much, Din's kuta forming a seal over the wound, but it did start to bleed again when Din gritted his teeth, took a breath, and pulled the spar out. If Din had been on his own, he would have had to cauterize an injury like that. Din had always carried a few Bacta patches when he'd been able to afford them, but old expired Bacta only went so far. Boba sprang for the good stuff, though, so Din was pretty sure he wasn't going to bleed to death before he made it to the light cruiser. The Bacta soothed some of the pain, anyway, and left Din clear-headed enough to focus. He finished checking himself over. His hip was going to bruise, and his bad arm was swollen again, the skin around the surgical scars tender and inflamed, and kitted back up quickly, sliding back into the pilot's chair as the light cruiser grew larger in his viewport. Din switched his comms channel on and started scanning. He wasn't sure what, if any, frequency Kreese was using, but he knew that someone would probably want to hail him before he got too close. He didn't have to wait long. Din was hailed within another minute, the fly's comm port lighting up with a request. Din accepted it, and Bo-Katan Kreese flickered into view. Din had fully armored back up after he'd finished checking himself over, including his helmet, but Kreese was in her usual state, armored but with her face visible, hair tucked back by a metal headband. She looked him up and down. Even as a hologram she was arresting, her gaze pale and cunning and clear. "Jaren," she said. Din tipped his head. "Kreese," he returned. "You're alive, then," she said. "Good. Who was I shooting at?" "Huts," Din said. "Thanks for the hand, by the way." Kreese waved him off, her image crackling. "I don't like Huts," she said. "We were starting to think that Fett had killed you. Koska tried to calm you last week." Din startled and looked down at his gauntlet reflexively. His calm was still broken, its face cracked. Din had been meaning to replace it, but he hadn't had to. Over the past few weeks, he'd only rarely been out of Boba or Fennec's line of sight. Din said, clearing his throat. "Sorry, it's been an interesting few months. My comm was broken in a fight. Haven't gotten it fixed yet." Kreese snorted. "Got yourself a ship, though?" Din nodded. "Good," said Kreese. "Come aboard, then. Bay's open. Koska will meet you." "All right," said Din, aiming for steady. He was close enough to see the light cruiser's landing docks now. The shields were down. "What did you need? Why did Koska come?" "We'll talk when you're on board," Kreese said. And then, before Din could push harder, she inclined her head at him and said, "Kreese out," the holocall flickering before it cut out entirely. Din stared at the light cruiser and sighed. "Great," he thought. "She does want something." It set his teeth on edge. He steered the fly towards the landing bay anyway. He did still owe Kreese his help, after all. He could at least hear her out before he went back to Boba. It was strange to be flying into the mouth of an Imperial Star Destroyer. Din had done his best to avoid the imps for most of his life. Usually a Star Destroyer appearing in the skies above a system had meant that it was time to clear out of that system. He brought the fly in without any trouble, though. No one shot him out of the black, at least. Koska Reeves was waiting for him, propped up against a nearby wall. She rolled back up to her feet when Din nosed the fly down and disengaged the engines, and was waiting at the bottom of the ramp when Din stuck his head out of the plug door. She was wearing her armor, but not her helmet. Din kept his on for now and nodded, coming down the ramp to join her. She swept her eyes over him, considering. Din eyed her right back. He knew what he looked like. Singed and smoking, fresh carbon burns darkening his armor, wear and tear evident in the creases of his kuta. Koska's armor, in contrast, was freshly painted, its markings and symbols crisp and stark. She was kitted out for a fight, blasters on both hips, jetpack on her back. Din was grateful for his Beskar spear's reassuring weight across his own shoulders, for the solid comfort of his blaster at his side, the now familiar brush of the darksaber at his hip. "She is not my enemy," Din told himself. "You look like you've had a fun time, Jaren," Koska said, smiling. She was a sturdy, cheerful sort. A bit like Cobb Vanth, now that Din thought about it, though Koska was younger, smaller, and not quite as stringy as Vanth. "How's Tatooine?" Din grunted.
She laughed. Sounds right, she said. Misun chevla sacheb spesterili. I've only been twice, and both times I got stabbed. Din had no idea what she'd said, except that he knew sterili because it sounded like shrill. Boba's warning rang clear in Din's head. Casca and her people thought that Din was a Mandalorian, that he spoke their language, that he understood the significance of what they said, what they believed. That was why Kreese had refused to take the Darksaber when he'd offered it to her. She'd thought him a fellow warrior, someone to respect, or at least someone she couldn't, or wouldn't, murder. But I'll give it to her without a fight, Din thought. He didn't understand why Kreese would have to fight him for it. Din would renounce any claim he had to it, to what the Darksaber meant, to anyone who wanted or needed to hear it. But they think I'm a Mandalorian, and Boba thinks they might try to hurt me if I tell them I'm not. And Din had agreed to keep his status secret, at least for now. So I can't tell Casca that I don't really speak Mandoa. Tatooine's not for everyone, Din said, guessing at Casca's intent. She laughed again. Din relaxed. He'd guessed right, or at least close enough to right, that Casca thought he'd understood her. No, she agreed. It's not. Still, though, good fighting down there? Din shrugged. Decent, Din allowed. He preferred sparring with Ashek and Boba and Fennec to the sort of fighting he'd just done down in the throne room, panic and chaos and clawing to survive, terrified that his friends had been hurt, that they'd died. Casca grinned. Good, she said. It's always a good idea to keep in fighting shape. Din made a non-committal sound. He liked Casca well enough. Of the three Mandalorians on the cruiser, Casca was the warmest and the one who'd spent the most time with Din while he'd been recovering from his injuries. Din knew that she'd probably hung around him on Kreese's orders, but he'd appreciated her company anyway. She hadn't treated him like he'd been made fragile by his disastrous fight with the Dark Troopers, by sending Grogu away. "You and Fett have got yourselves into a bit of a mess, we hear," Casca continued. She gestured for Din to follow her down a long, wide hallway, which he did. If his memory was right, they were aimed for the bridge. We weren't sure who we were shooting at until Bo confirmed it a few minutes ago, but all of Hutt Space is talking about it. Gorga the Hutt's out for blood. You've been in Hutt Space? Din asked, latching onto the part of the conversation he could follow. Casca shrugged. In and out, she said. Bo's had Axe and me running around all over the place. Rallying the troops, you know. The troops? Din asked warily. Casca's grin widened. You don't have to sound so gloomy about it, she said. It's not like Bo's got an army left, not anymore. Din thought of the graveyard Mandalore had become and winced. But there's still some of us left in the galaxy, Casca continued. Axe and I have been looking. I tried to calm you last week. I was wondering if you'd heard from any of your people. You find anyone? Din asked, skirting neatly around mentioning Paz and the others. He was a little concerned now about what he was about to walk into. Din had expected to find the light cruiser crewed by Casca and Woves and Kreese herself, but others. If they were Kreese's allies back on Mandalore, does that mean that they're Death Watch? Or that they were Death Watch? Din wondered. That thought set his teeth on edge. Din didn't want Death Watch this close to Boba, not when Boba was already dealing with Gorga the Hutt. And, Din thought, reluctantly, I don't know if I want to meet anyone who's Death Watch either. Now that Boba had explained some of the nuances between the different factions of Mandalorians, Din was more sure than ever that his people weren't Death Watch. His tribe had never marauded around the galaxy, they'd never raided villages or attacked supply transports, had never taken hostages or slaves. But I still don't want to hear a murderer speak and recognize Mylor's words, he thought. If Din's people were called the Children of the Watch, they were closer to Death Watch than not. Din wasn't sure he wanted that similarity highlighted. Casca only shrugged again. If she noticed Din's sudden discomfort, she didn't point it out. We've turned up a few, she said, which wasn't reassuring. Bo will explain it better. Come on, last I saw her, she was on the bridge. We figured those Omicrons trying to blow you all up in the sky weren't your friends. They weren't, Din said. He paused, then said grudgingly, Thanks, by the way, for taking the ships out. Don't worry about it, Casca said, waving Din's words off with another cheerful grin. It's good practice for the kids. Din's heart sank. Kids?
You'll meet them, Cuska promised, which did nothing to settle Din's growing apprehension. Not fear, he told himself, because he wasn't afraid, despite Boba's warning. If Cuska, herself no older than 30, called the others kids, Din figured he'd find himself facing young warriors. He could handle young warriors. But are they Death Watch? Are they something worse? He didn't have to wait long to find out. The light cruiser was bigger than the freighters and hunter-killers Din had spent most of his life on, but it wasn't a sprawling ship like a Star Destroyer or an old Separatist barge. Cuska had him in front of the big, dented blast doors that guarded the bridge within just a few minutes. Din eyed the dents, remembering the Dark Troopers. "Didn't bother with repairs?" he asked. Cuska laughed. "I kind of like him," she said. "Makes a good story, you know?" Din didn't know. Nothing about that day, not even defeating Gideon and getting the kid back, if only for a few minutes, made up a story that Din thought he'd like to tell. "Come on," Cuska said again, keying a code into the door's pad. "We don't buy it, I promise. Bo should be in here. Ready?" Her fingers hovered over the last few keys on the pad. Din couldn't help but soften. He did like Cuska Reeves, mostly. She'd been easier to talk to, easier to be around, than Kreese or Woves. Din had known, still knew, he thought, where he stood with Cuska. As long as Din was bound to Kreese's quest, Cuska was staunchly on Din's side. So instead of locking his knees or retreating to the medbay, Din nodded. He was going to have to face Kreese and meet these other Mandalorians sooner or later. Kreese was the type to show off all of her allies, Din thought, and he'd rather do it now than spend the rest of his time on the light cruiser wondering about who else was on board. Besides, he thought, a little grudgingly, I am curious. Din had left Kreese with just two Talvore, Cuska and Woves, and he wasn't sure what other Mandalorians were left in the galaxy to flock to Kreese if she called them. Din's own people wouldn't come. They'd see Kreese as an outsider at best. But there are more of them than I ever thought, Din told himself. There were more Mandalorians still around in the galaxy than he'd ever imagined. That was a good thing, even if the others were Mandalorians Din wouldn't recognize, even if they wouldn't recognize him. If I keep telling myself that, Din thought wryly, I might even start to believe it. Might as well, Din said. Cuska smiled and keyed in the last numbers in the code. The dented blast doors groaned and slid open. The bridge lay beyond them. Come on then, said Cuska, and stepped inside. Din followed her, tense despite himself, and then relaxed a little when he got a good view of the bridge. Despite his apprehension and what Cuska had implied, there were only four other Mandalorians there, each manning separate station. None of them were beings that Din recognized. Kreese and Woves were nowhere to be seen. She doesn't quite have an army, then, Din thought. Four Mandalorians. Seven, Din supposed, counting Woves, Cuska, and Kreese herself, could do a lot of damage, but seven wasn't an army. Not even eight is an army if Kreese is counting me and whatever plans she's making, Din thought. He wasn't sure anymore what her plan was. But it was clear she had one. Din didn't know why she'd start gathering other warriors if she didn't have a plan. None of the other Mandalorians on the bridge wore Kreese's colors, the blue, white, and gray that marked what Boba had called the Night Owls, the battle group that Kreese had led in Death Watch. All of the Mandalorians on the bridge had full Beskar Gam, or most of one. Helmets, cuirasses, gauntlets, greaves, plates across the thighs. Three had a pauldron on both shoulders, and the fourth had only one, and the colors they'd painted their armor were all different. Yellow and black, white, red, even a bluish-gray like Paz's armor. Din shook his head a little, confused by it all. Boba had told him a bit about what armor colors had meant once, a long time ago when Mandalore had been more unified, but Din wasn't sure that these colors meant anything at all. Cuska gave Din a second to gather his bearings. She was scanning the bridge, a little frown forming between her eyebrows. When she'd completed her search and Bo-Katan hadn't appeared in the middle of the room, Cuska whistled, high and sharp, to get the attention of everyone on the bridge. They all looked up from their stations, and their eyes found Din. None of them were wearing their helmets, though they each had one set in their laps or perched on the tops of their terminals, visors gleaming. Din shifted a little to let the folds of his cloak fall over his hip, covering the darksaber's hilt. He didn't like the sudden, sharp attention that focused on him,
the feeling of a forest full of Vornskr smelling prey all at once. But there was nowhere to hide here. Din couldn't use his usual trick of fading into a crowd, or even of hiding in a tree, holding still and bending every thought towards remaining unnoticed.
At ease, Koska said. At her word, some of that sharp attention slid away.
Jaren, come here. Ren, where's Lady Bo-Katan?
So she's Bo when it's just her and Talvore, Din thought, and Koska counts me as part of that number. But it's Lady Bo-Katan around everyone else. He tucked that information away. He wondered briefly if Koska considered Din one of Kreese's Talvore too, but put the thought aside when the warrior Koska had named, Ren, turned his attention from Din to Koska. Ren was in the gunner's seat. His armor was yellow, black, and gray, his helmet propped up on the controls next to him, and he was fairly young. Younger than me, anyway, Din thought wryly, his side still aching. Ren was a human man with dark brown hair and a serious face, and the gray painted across his breastplate and pauldron swirled in strange patterns. It reminded Din of the whorls and weaves of a few tattoos he'd seen down in the covert, almost. His own old tattoos itched underneath his armor. Ren's got more yellow on him than Strill does. Strill's armor was mostly black, with bits of yellow and gold accents painted around her Karta Beskar and the crosshair on her helmet. This man's armor was the opposite, loudly yellow, with bits of black and gray added to break up the bright color. Koska lifted her chin at the young man, who lifted his chin back in greeting.
Jaren, this is Tristan Wren of Clan Wren, House Kreese, Koska said. Countess Ursa's son.
Din blinked, but nodded. He knew the clan name. Bob had mentioned it a few times. He'd said that Clan Wren had been decimated during the purges.
He's one of the better marksmen on board, Koska continued. You can thank him for taking out those Omicrons.
Din looked Tristan Wren up and down. The kid met Din's gaze steadily. This one's seen some real fighting, Din thought.
Thank you, Din said, sincerely.
Boba's palace had thick walls, but Din was glad that the attacking ships hadn't had much time to test just how thick they were.
We appreciated the help. I'm Jaren, Din Jaren.
Din didn't have a clan or a house to offer. His tribe hadn't even named itself. But if Ren expected one, he didn't show it. He just nodded, sizing Din up right back.
Sukui, Ren said.
His accent was different than Boba's. Boba had an odd accent, half outer rim and half core. Ren's was all Imperial Core, like he'd gone to one of the academies or had served for a time in the ranks of the Empire. And don't mention it, always happy to blow up some huts. Ren flicked his attention back to Koska. Boss said she'd be in the war room, Woes went with her.
Thanks, keep at it, kid, said Koska good-naturedly, even though she couldn't be more than a few years older than Ren.
If Din had to guess, he'd put Ren in his mid to late 20s. Old enough to be a blooded warrior to have seen plenty of action, but not quite a swaggering clan elder yet. This, Koska continued, staring Din over to the Mandalorian sitting at the next terminal over, is Torig Saxon, Clan Saxon, house... whatever house your mother signed on with now, Koska said, gesturing at the warrior. This one was a Zabrak, with orange skin and bold black tattoos running down his cheeks and his neck, which contrasted sharply with his white and green painted armor. Most of his armor was painted a thick, matte white. His Karta Beskar was lined with a light pale green, as were the plates protecting his knees. He had heavier plate on, like Pa's, instead of the lighter hunter-style Beskar Gam Din wore. His helmet, balanced on one knee, had a crown of spikes molded into it, and his yellow eyes were sharp and predatory. Some kind of animal's face was painted around the lines of the helmet's cheeks. An iron wolf, Din thought, from the high plains of Mandalore.
House Kreese, thanks, the Zabrak said dryly.
He was even younger than Tristan Wren and had a thicker outer rim accent. The way he spoke reminded Din of Maren, the Zabrak woman who lived with Cal Kestis at the Jedi Academy on Yavin.
Lady Bo-Katan made Ma a pretty good offer.
Meaning what? Koska asked, rolling her eyes. Din thought that Koska might be asking for his benefit, so Din could learn who was following Bo-Katan and why, but he wasn't sure. It seemed like something Koska'd do, though.
Saxon shrugged. That Lady Bo-Katan's not going to let the Great Bear do for the rest of us like she did for Uncle Gar, probably, he said.
Something clicked in Din's head. He'd heard of Gar Saxon before. Gar Saxon had been the Viceroy of Mandalore. He'd ruled it for the Empire. Boba had brought him up when he'd been giving Din what he knew of Mandalore's history. None of what Boba had said about Gar Saxon had been flattering.
Saxon had been Death Watch too, Din remembered, and then after Pre Vizsla had been killed, Saxon had stepped in and led what was left of Death Watch for the Empire. Din tried not to stiffen too noticeably. They are all Death Watch, he thought. Or they were Death Watch once. The younger Saxon grinned, showing off his species' sharp teeth. In exchange for our unwavering service, of course. Casca snorted loudly. Of course, she said. To Din, she added. Ignore half of what he says. Torig here thinks he's funny. Too many blows to the head as a child. Bo-Katan wouldn't really wipe out Clan Saxon, even if Gar was a Hutun. The rest of us aren't so bad, Saxon agreed, still grinning. Ma was Uncle Gar's least favorite sister for a reason. Anyway, good to meet you. You any good with that spear? Torig, Casca said. But Din nodded. Decent, he allowed modestly, letting the kid size him up. Saxon was big and brawny, like most male Zabraks, and probably had more innate predatory instincts than Din had ever managed to learn. But Torig was young and overconfident. Din could see it in him, with the way his yellow eyes flashed as he looked Din up and down. He thinks he can take me, Din thought, amusement flickering. Din shifted his stance a little to show Torig Din's strength, to show him the broad set of his shoulders, the way Din carried his armor like it weighed nothing at all. If anything, Torig's eyes brightened. You want to prove it? He asked eagerly. Din had to suppress a smile. This one would get along with Shag, he thought. He made himself soften, pushing down the instinctive defensiveness. Maybe they were all Death Watch once, but this one's just a kid. He couldn't have been part of the same Death Watch that tore Jango Fett's family apart. Gar Sharela, Din said lightly, reaching for the few words in Mandoa that he knew. He pushed aside Strill's voice in his head, telling him he shouldn't speak it. You know any Parbevi? Saxon started, clearly excited, before Casca cut him off. Save it, Tor, she said, rolling her eyes. Jaren here's Lady Bo-Katan's guest. No maiming. Aw, said Torig, deflating. Din chuckled. Maybe later, he said. The kid brightened again. I'll hold you to that, he said. Din rolled his eyes. Casca steered him away from the young Zabrak before he could start sketching a sparring ring right there in the middle of the bridge. The next Mandalorian down the line was a human woman, much older than Ren and Saxon. Older than Din, even, and older than Boba. She had streaks of gray in her hair and lines carved deeply around her mouth and the corners of her eyes. She didn't wait for Casca to introduce her. Myra Antilles at your service, the woman said, reaching out to grasp Din's forearm in a proper greeting. Din gripped her arm back, surprised. Neither Ren nor Saxon had bothered. Din Djarin, he said, at yours. Myra's one of the best fighters I've ever met, Casca said, and she's a good friend of Lady Bo-Katan's. We don't exactly have an army, but if we did, Myra'd be top Gundark. Nice flattery, Reeves, Antilles replied, her eyes turning up in a smile. Her armor was simply decorated. It had been painted a grayish blue, the shade of it similar to Paz's armor, but instead of favoring the bold black and white symbols of the Night Owls, Antilles had embellished her armor with gold. She'd earned a signet, too. Her right pauldron was embossed with a strange, looping shape that looked a bit like a triangle turned over, except its corners were rounded and swooped. Ren and Saxon hadn't had any signets. Din liked Myra immediately. She reminded him a bit of Cara Dune in a way he couldn't quite figure out, but welcomed anyway. Steady, he thought. Myra Antilles felt steady. I'm still not filling out your requisitions for you, Antilles continued. Traitor, Casca muttered, but she was smiling too. Well, now I feel left out, the fourth unfamiliar Mandalorian remarked, standing up from her station. She was human, too, probably close to Din's age, with straight black hair that brushed her chin and keen green eyes. One cheek was twisted up in a bad scar. Her armor was mostly red. Not the bright red Annika had always favored, or even the burnished brownish red Din had chosen for his Durasteel armor, but a red the color of rust. Her greaves and pauldrons were striped with black. "And a cast, Clan Cast," the woman said, gripping Din's forearm, too. Something about her was familiar, but Din didn't know why. He didn't recognize the name. So you're the one we've all heard about, the one who defeated Gideon. Din tensed. Down, Anna, Casca said, tone lazy. The green-eyed woman looked at Casca sharply. Casca just smiled at her, sharp and still lazy, and set a hand on the grip of one of her blasters.
Din let go of Cast's forearm, nerves prickling.
I don't like the look in her eye, he thought.
Well, Cast pressed, still glaring at Koshka. Is it true? Is he the one who defeated Gideon?
I fought him, Din said evenly.
That made Cast, and everyone else on the bridge, if the way the hairs on the back of Din's neck stood up was any indication, look at Din instead. There was a fire burning in the backs of Anacast's eyes, a light that was almost fevered. He knew why she seemed familiar now. Din had seen the same light burning in Kreese's eyes when she'd talked of Mandalore. He'd seen it in Gideon's when Gideon had talked about what he wanted from Grogu.
We all fought him, Din continued. Some instinct shouted at him, snagged his attention. I don't want her to think that I beat Gideon alone. The thought was bright and clear and urgent.
We took the cruiser together, Din said, and Gideon's been taken away by the New Republic.
But you were the one who...
That's enough, Anna, Koshka snapped, laziness gone. Her tone was as sharp as the point of Din's spear. Save the interrogation. Like I said, Jaren's here as Lady Bo-Katan's guest. Some silent meaning passed between the two women, too subtle for Din to catch.
Of course, Cast finally said, backing down. Her eyes glittered. I'd hate to upset herself.
She said that, herself, with the same sort of biting disdain Boba could muster up when he talked about Bo-Katan. Din frowned. If Anna Cast doesn't respect Kreese, he thought, what's she doing here?
Koshka didn't seem keen to let Din stick around to find out. She shot Cast one more quelling glare, then nodded at Antilles and turned her attention to Din.
Come on, Koshka said. If Lady Bo-Katan's in the war room, she'll want to see you. The rest of you, Shira Shabika, back to work. We'll stay SPO until we get the word from Lady Bo-Katan. Only Ren and Antilles saluted. They had proper soldiering in them, Din thought. A sense of decorum. Saxon just nodded amiably, and Cass didn't acknowledge Koshka at all. She was still watching Din. Din let Koshka guide him off the bridge, head spinning. He felt Cass's eyes following him.
What was that all about? He asked once he and Koshka were out of earshot. What's Cast's problem with me?
Koshka's gaze flickered over Din, then went back to the long, white hallway they were walking down.
It's not you she's got a problem with, Koshka finally said.
Din frowned.
Bo-Katan?
Koshka shrugged.
Clan Ren's a Kreese Alit Beskhat, Koshka said. Like my clan. Clan Cast isn't.
Clan Reeves? Din asked. He'd never heard Koshka refer to herself as part of a wider clan.
Koshka nodded. There aren't too many of us anymore, she said, but we swore to follow House Kreese 9 generations ago, and I'd rather die than be the one to break that promise.
She means Beskhat, like Talvod, Din realized, fitting the word together. She means that her whole clan is Talvode. Her clan swore to follow Kreese's.
All right, Din thought, understanding a little better.
Koshka was saying that Tristan Wren and his clan were bloodkin to Kreese too, trusted. He could wrap his head around that.
So if your clan and Wren's are Beskhate, Din said, hoping he hadn't mangled the word too badly. He saw Koshka's brow furrow a little, but she didn't say anything. I take it that Clan Cast isn't.
Koshka snorted.
No, she said, not even a little. Anna's just about the only cast left. Her sister Rook was in close with the Saxons and went down with them, too. And they were old Kirtzad. Never much liked Bo, not with Duchess Satine in the mix.
Din nodded slowly.
So why is she here? He asked.
Koshka shrugged.
We haven't figured that out yet, she said. But she's a good fighter. Bo's letting her stick around until she shows us which edge of the knife she's holding.
And the others? Din asked. Saxon and Antilles?
Myra's solid, Koshka assured him. Not Beskhat, she's got no clan, just herself, but Asrusanish Asrus.
And Saxon, Din prompted. He tucked Koshka's words away to ask Boba about later. He assumed they meant that Myra was someone Kreese trusted.
Ah, Koshka grimaced. Well, Tor's... He's basically a political hostage, she admitted.
Din stared at her.
That sounds bad, doesn't it? Koshka said. It really isn't, I promise. It's... Gar Saxon had about 100 siblings, she tried to explain. Clan Saxon was big. A lot of them died off when Gar did, or right after. We told everyone that the Empire didn't give a strelishebs about who had been loyal before, but they didn't listen, and... Cuska sighed, shook her head. And they saw what their loyalty brought them, she said. It didn't matter that Gar Saxon had served the Empire. The Empire glassed Clan Saxon's stronghold just like the rest. But not all of Clan Saxon died, Cuska continued. A few of Gar's sisters, including Lady Lysistra, Torg's mother, got a lot of the clan out. There's still enough of them around to cause a problem anyway if anybody in Clan Saxon starts getting ideas. So why is Torg a hostage? Din asked, still not understanding. It was more common in the old days, Cuska admitted, when there were more clans and more houses and all of us were fighting. Bo took Torg on. She'll give him a good education, teach him what she knows. It's a good deal, really. But, Din said, fitting the pieces together, if Lady Lysistra makes a move against House Kryes... Torig'll probably get vented, yeah, said Cuska, wincing. But he's Leah's favorite kid, we think, so Leah and the rest of the Saxons'll fall in line. That's... Din said, trailing off. That's awful. Lysistra, Leah Saxon agreed to this? Cuska nodded. Like I said, it's not exactly common anymore, she said, but it did happen a lot back before the Civil Wars, and it's a good deal for House Saxon, too. They'd get Bo-Katan's protection while Torg is here. He gets some good training. It all works out. Din thought about sending Grogu to live with his enemies and shuddered. Din would rather die than use the kid as a green silop like that. Cuska watched him out of the corner of her eye. They don't do that where you're from, huh? No, said Din firmly. No, we don't. We'd never. Even if it meant your clan survival? It's not a child's job, Din said, voice cold, to ensure his clan's survival. Torig's not a child, Cuska pointed out gently. He's blooded and grown. And he's Mandalorian. If he hadn't wanted to come here, not even his mother could have made him. It's still awful, Din thought. He was tired of being here already, tired of the games that he knew were played here. Din didn't have the head for this sort of thing. Among the coverts, there were no clans or houses. There were families, but not like this. Pallas Vizsla hadn't competed with Wen Yan and Agda Skirata. He hadn't ever tried to hold Annika's training or Annika's safety over them to get them to do what he wanted. You'll get used to it, Cuska said, slapping Din across the back. Keeping track of allegiances and clan politics can be a headache, but you're sharp. Now that you're with real Mandalorians again, you'll pick it up. Din froze. Real Mandalorians, he said. Cuska, at least, had the good sense to wince. That's not what I meant, she said. What did you mean, then? Din demanded, temper rising. He wasn't stupid. He might not have been a Mandalorian like Cuska, might not have been Mandalorian at all, not anymore, but he knew what she was implying. A group of religious zealots, Kryes had said. I don't really know much about your people, Cuska said. Bo calls them the Children of the Watch. I wasn't in Death Watch with her. I signed on later, after the Empire came. So I've never met any of these other groups. But you're real Mandalorians. I know that. That's not what I meant. Well, good, Din said. He forced himself to settle. Cuska was his ally here. Maybe his only real ally. None of the Mandalorians on the bridge had known Din, and Kryes had her own ambitions. It's different, he said, trying to be fair, to give Cuska the benefit of the doubt. The creed we follow. His tongue tripped over the word we. He made himself keep walking. Cuska's expression relaxed. Din deliberately ignored the guilt that spiked through him, throbbing alongside the wound where he dug out that spar of wood. I'm not a real Mandalorian, he thought. But Cuska didn't need to know that, not right now. Din would keep it to himself. Fett's never been one for clan politics anyway, Cuska continued. We're glad he didn't kill you, by the way. Wovs was a little worried about it, given Fett's reputation, and... What? She asked. Din had stopped walking again. His shoulders went tight with anger. Oh, he realized. She wasn't insulting me. She wasn't insulting my tribe. She was insulting Boba. Boba Fett, Din said, slowly and clearly, every word tight with hot fury, is a good man. He wouldn't kill me. Casca laughed. You're kidding, right? She asked. Din stared at her. Everyone knows about him, she continued. He's always been the worst sort of bounty hunter, no better than a neck dog. Worse, even. A neck dog can be trained. Bo says Fett's a few sequences short of a full Hey! Din had put his hand on the darksaber before he was fully aware of what he was doing. He hadn't drawn it, but his thumb was on the activator. Anger thrummed through him, waking his body back up, pushing his aches and pains to the side. Boba Fett, he repeated dangerously, is my... Din stopped. He didn't know what to call Boba. Friend, ally, Allure, a person that Din loved. He didn't know how to explain all of that to Casca. It wasn't her business, either. She wasn't Boba's friend or Boba's ally. Casca realized that she'd misstepped because she froze too. Her expression was caught between disbelief and concern. She grimaced. Okay, she said slowly. Clearly you've had an interesting few months. Didn't you meet Fett after you met us? What does that have to do with anything? Din growled, still bristling. Casca held up her hands. Nothing, I guess, she said. It's just, I guess he must be different than all the stories say if he's won your loyalty. He's not that bad? Din scowled. No, he said, he's not. He had to bite the inside of his cheek to keep himself from saying more. He's honorable, Din wanted to say. He always keeps his word. Boba had done terrible things, Din knew that. He'd seen Boba do some of them. Boba had killed those who cheated him. He was dealing in spice and weaponry. He'd hunted down escaped slaves and had served Jabba and the Empire. But we've all done terrible things. Din himself had done terrible things. Then I'm sorry, Casca said. She, at least, sounded sincere. Din eyed her. Casca sighed. Niseta, she said. Din scowled harder. He knew that Niseta was a more serious apology, but he was still prickling with outrage. None of you know Boba, Din thought. None of you know me. What? Said Casca, eyebrows rising in the face of Din's stony silence. Is he your redour or something? Din didn't understand the word, but he understood Casca's tone, half mocking like she couldn't imagine that Din would say yes. Din had always been stubborn. Yes, he snapped. Casca's eyes went almost comically wide. Oh, she said. Her tone almost made Din back down. He wondered what he'd said. Well, Casca said, recovering before Din could change his mind and begrudgingly apologize for jumping down her throat. That's okay. Sounds like I was wrong, then. Sorry. Ne paravu takisit. Din eyed her some more. You'll back down that easy. She shrugged. You're honorable. If you say he is, that's good enough for me. All right, then, Din said, settling some. He could understand that, he supposed. Casca had spent about 2 days planning with Din, Boba, and Bo-Katan to go raid the light cruiser. That was the extent of her interaction with him, and even that time had been thin. Boba had worked out his role in the plan, shuttle service and then pick up later if needed, and had mostly stayed out of the rest. I am sorry, Casca said, earnest. I didn't... Well, it just surprised me is all. Bo doesn't like Fett. He doesn't much like her either, Din muttered. He waved an irritated hand. Sounds like a lot of people don't. Rather than getting offended, Cuska lightened up and laughed. "That's just Shahakan," she said. "Politics. Mandalore's gone, but all the old clan feuds are still around." Din grunted. He let Cuska get him moving again, letting his hand fall off the darksaber. "How do clan feuds help anything?" he asked. Cuska lifted one shoulder. "You don't have those, Child of the Watch?" "No," Din said. "Really?" Cuska lifted an eyebrow to match her shoulder. "Must be nice." It was Din's turn to raise one shoulder, on the back foot and unhappy about it. His skin still prickled, anger buzzing low in his chest. "It was all right," he said. At least the covert hadn't been like this. Hadn't had a maze of words and alliances and old enemies, hadn't said one thing and meant something else entirely. No one in his tribe had ever taken another Mandalorian hostage. No one had needed to. "Be careful around here, then," said Cuska. Her eyes were still wide, but serious. "Clan politics can get dangerous." Anything involving trained fighters was dangerous. Mandalorians were dangerous just by being who they were. But Din nodded. "I'm not staying," he said. "Not today, anyway. I need to get back to Tatooine before long." Cuska nodded. "That'll work," she said. "Bo's only got a few things to run by you, and, she said, coming to a stop in front of a plain-looking door. "We're here." Din was relieved. "I've been here 10 minutes, and I've already taken a side," he thought. He hadn't meant to take a side, to choose Boba over Cuska over Kreese, so openly, at least not at first. Din had had the vague suspicion that he would have to choose eventually, given how much Boba and Kreese seemed to hate each other, but I've shown my hand already. The longer Din stayed here, the more likely it was that he'd say something he didn't mean to, that he'd reveal more than he'd intended. Best to get this over with, he thought. Cuska punched another code into the door's keypad, and it swept open to reveal a modestly sized room decorated in the same stark shades of white as the rest of the light cruiser. Inside it, studying a hollow map much like Boba bent over his work table and studying his ledgers, was Bo-Katan Kreese. Kreese hadn't changed much in the week since Din had seen her last. Her armor was the same blue, white, and black, dented and scraped here and there, lived in. Her presence was still fierce and severe, and her gaze was still pale and sharp, her bright shock of red hair tucked neatly behind a thick metal headband. The only thing that had changed, really, was her posture. The last time Din had seen her, she'd been defeated, slumped, shell-shocked by the destruction of Mandalore. That sense of defeat was gone. Her shoulders were straight again, and she looked like she was ready to fight. She had a Westar on one hip and a wicked-looking vibroblade strapped to the other. She has a plan, Din thought. He tried not to be openly apprehensive about it as he stepped into the war room. Despite the name, the room didn't have much in it to offer clues about its function. There was a long hollow table in the center of it, which Kreese had used to bring up a map of the Tatoo sector and its neighbors, and several white chairs arranged around a table. But that was it. The rest of the room was featureless. Kreese wasn't in the war room alone. Exwos was with her, studying the hollow map at her side. They were speaking together in low voices. He looked up when Cuska ushered Din into the room. He nodded at Din, but smiled at Cuska. Kreese looked up, too. Her pale gaze caught Din's attention and held it. She carried herself like an Alor. If Din hadn't been so focused on getting Grogu back, he might have noticed it more keenly during the hunt for Gideon. Bo-Katan carried herself with a sense of purpose, of conviction, that Din half wanted to lean towards, to bow before. Was I always like that, he wondered. Had he always known who was an Alor and who wasn't, sensed strength and wanted to follow it? Din resisted and met Kreese's gaze. Jaren, she said after a beat. You're alive, then. Din spread his hands. I'm here, he said. What did you need? Direct as ever, Kreese noted. Din shrugged. He didn't want to play word games with her, not today.
Din didn't care if that was how other Mandalorians handled clan politics. He wasn't one of Kreese's Talvore. He didn't have to play games. Kreese studied him for a moment, then nodded. Koska, Axe, I'll catch up with you later, she said decisively. Jaren, let's take a walk. Din, Koska, and Woves all hesitated. Woves and Koska exchanged a look between them that was too fast and too familiar for Din to parse all the way. Kreese, however, caught it. She rolled her eyes and sighed. It'll be fine, she said, gentling her tone some. Go on. I'll follow you, Jaren. Wary now, Boba's warning echoing clearly in the back of Din's head. Din did as he was told, stepping back out into the hall. Kreese did follow, leaving her helmet behind. Din supposed that was a good sign. If she'd intended to fight, she would have armored up all the way. He saw Koska looking at him as Kreese stepped through the door, and then the door slid shut behind her, cutting Koska off from view. Din looked down at Bo-Katan. She met his gaze steadily and snorted. Don't start, she said. Come on, let's walk. I've been in meetings all day. I could stand to stretch my legs. She set off down the hall in the opposite direction from the bridge at a good pace. Din hesitated a moment, but decided to follow. It wasn't like he could avoid talking to her after all. War meetings? Din asked, falling in beside her. Their boots echoed off the walls. Kree snorted again. Some of her intensity had faded. They've felt like it sometimes, she said. But no, there's no one to fight, not yet. But there will be someone to fight. Din just wanted to know what Kreese was planning. He had the sneaking suspicion that she was going to make him work to figure it out. We're Mandalorian, she said. There's always someone to fight. Din made a considering noise. She has me there, he thought. Boba's accounting of Mandalore's history had been full of conflicts. The warriors in his stories had lurched from one war to the next. Let's call them diplomatic meetings, Kreese said. What about you? You've seen action. She flicked a hand at his armor, gesturing at its fresh burns and scrapes. The same action that you saw from up here, Din said dryly. He left out the rest of it. The hunting Din had done for Boba, the scuffles he'd gotten into, the bombing on the road to Mos Eisley. You said it was Hutt's? Din nodded. Kreese shook her head. Fett's bitten off more than he can swallow there, she said. Koska's told me what she's heard from Hutt's base. I wouldn't tangle with the Hutts unless I had to, not even with one as unpopular as Gorga. That's Fett's business, said Din, stony. That made Kreese look up at him, her eyes considering. There was no way Koska could have told her what Din had said about Boba in the hall, but Din tensed anyway. And you'll keep his business to yourself, will you? Unless he asks me to share it, said Din. He met her gaze through his visor. Same as I'd do for you, if you had business you wanted to keep between us. That part of your creed? Kreese asked. Her tone was deceptively light. Din scowled. Yes, he said. It wasn't part of the creed, which only expected a warrior to keep to their word, but Din had no interest in being plied for secrets. Kreese's expression shifted. All right, then, she said. I won't ask. As long as you don't expect a repeat performance, I didn't come here to take shots at a Hutt boss. What did you come here for, then? Din asked. He didn't put too much of a challenge in his tone, but he did put a bit of bite there. I am not one of your soldiers, he wanted to say. I am not a Verdika you can order around. Din had sworn to her quest, and he intended to keep that promise, but that didn't mean he was going to blindly follow Bo-Katan around the galaxy, doing whatever she wanted. She knew that, too. If Kreese was irritated by Din's forthrightness, she only showed it as the barest sneer, one corner of her lip twitching upward for a second before smoothing away. I've got a proposition for you. Kreese said. I'm listening, Din replied. She huffed a little and looked away, down the long, white hallway. Din couldn't imagine living in a place like this full-time. The Razor Crest had been utilitarian, but it hadn't been like this, featureless and monotonous and almost threatening in its blankness. Din's covert had always tried to decorate a little when they'd moved into a new hideout.
They'd put the Mythosaur sigil up above the forge room, and they'd gathered scraps of cloth to make curtains or quilts. A portion of the clink Din had brought in, an admittedly tiny portion, but as much as the tribe had been able to spare, had gone to paints and trinkets for the foundlings so each one could mark out a space in the bunk room as theirs. If Kreese had decorated any part of the light cruiser, had done anything inside it to shake off the stark white lines favored by the Empire, she wasn't showing Din any of it. "I have called," Kreese finally said, as they reached the end of one blank hallway and turned down another. "A gathering." Din raised his eyebrows. "Of," he said, even though he already knew the answer. "Of Mandalorians," said Kreese. Din went quiet. "Not just the clans who were my allies back on Mandalore," she continued. "I've sent the message out to anyone I could still find. That's what Cusca and Axe have been doing." "Searching for other Mandalorians?" Kreese nodded. "We called ourselves the Mandalorian Resistance before the Empire won," she said. "I had 6 clans under mine. But that wasn't all there was to Mandalore. There were others. The Protectors, the Loyalists, the Neutral Mandalorians." Her voice dropped lower. "Death Watch." Her voice dropped lower again. "The Children of the Watch." "You've talked to the Children of the Watch?" Din asked before he could stop himself. "Who did you talk to? Where?" He couldn't help it. The urge to know, to find out if anyone else from Navarro had survived, if the Allure had made it out, if Annika was okay, if she'd gotten any more of the kids away to safety, was sharp and overwhelming. Kreese flicked a gaze at him, then away. "Not directly," she admitted. "I sent word with a friend of mine who has ties to your people. That's part of the reason why I came to find you. Do you have any way of contacting more of the children?" Din's thoughts jumped immediately to Paz and the Verdike. Paz had said that he didn't know where anyone else in their own tribe had gone after Navarro, but Strill and Jag might have a way to contact their own covert, and if their Allure spread the news through the others. "I might," Din said, slowly, cautiously. "Why? What are you trying to do?" Kreese spread her hands. "I'm trying to gather us," she said. "All of us." Din blinked. "All Mandalorians." That didn't sound like anything he would have ever thought Kreese would say. She'd been Death Watch. Boba had told Din that Death Watch had had a very narrow idea of what a Mandalorian was, and that they were happy to attack anyone who didn't fit into that narrow view. "I should know," Din thought bitterly. "I was Death Watch, too." "All who will come," Kreese allowed. "Not everyone who's left will." "How many are left?" Din asked, unable to include himself in that number. "A few thousand?" "Less," said Kreese. 600-700, maybe? Who still wear armor, anyway?" "There are..." "The Neutral Mandalorians didn't wear Beskar," she said. "And there were more who hid their armor, who gave it up when the purges started." 100 words jostled for space inside Din's mouth. "Then they're not Mandalorians if they gave up their armor," an old part of him wanted to say. "But that's not true," he thought. "If giving up one's Beskar had been the only way to survive, if it had been the only way to protect the clan's children..." Din's head hurt. His side hurt, too. "I don't want to be here." Kreese was watching Din with her keen, cunning eyes. Probably trying to see if I'll deny it, he thought, bitterness thick in his mouth. "If I'll say that those others, the ones who gave up their armor rather than stand and fight, aren't real Mandalorians." Din held his tongue long enough for the urge to say what he had always been taught to pass. "So, what do you want from me?" Din finally got out, when he could speak again without showing too much of himself to her. The corner of Kreese's mouth turned up again. This time it was in triumph. 2 things," Kreese said, holding up 2 fingers. She dropped one. "One,
I'd like you to put the word out among your own people, if you're able. Do you know how many of you there are? A few hundred, Din said. He sifted through his memories. Coverts never grew larger than 30 or 40. It was too hard to hide that many, and even harder to feed them. And Din knew there were at least 10 separate coverts, maybe more. Paz would know, and Din had to wonder how he was going to be able to ask Paz. Not bad, said Kreis. Why do you want them there? Din asked. You said... You called us extremists. Kreis shrugged. Even a Mandalorian extremist is a Mandalorian, she said. There aren't enough of us left for me to care about politics. All I care about is... Well... She brought her second finger up again. Second, she said. I want you to be there, too. At the gathering? Kreis nodded. Why? She just looked at him for a moment. Because I am going, she finally said. And Woves, and Reeves, and all of my people. Aren't you sworn to the same quest? Din gritted his teeth. Yes, he said. So I want you to be there. She wasn't telling Din the truth. Or she wasn't telling him the entire truth. It was difficult to read her. She was calm and steady, her face as smooth as a Beskar helmet. Not even her eyes gave anything away. My people won't. Our creed, Din said, is rigid. They won't see you as Mandalorian, even if you see them. Let me worry about that, said Kreis, eyes glinting. Just get them there, and yourself. We're meeting on Kronos. Countess Ursa has agreed to host the summit. Ursa Wren. Kreis nodded. Her son is here on the ship, she said. Her heir would be too if she hadn't left for the unknown regions. Good fighters, the Wrens. You'd like them. The unknown... Din stopped, shook his head to clear it. He didn't care what Ursa Wren's heir was doing off in the unknown regions. Kronest, he repeated. When? In a month, said Kreis. She was watching Din again. Will you come? Can I count on you? Yes, Din said. He didn't understand what Kreis thought a summit would do. Din's people, the coverts, they wouldn't go. They wouldn't recognize Kreis or anyone like her as Mandalorian enough to bother with. But Kreis was right. Din had sworn himself to her quest, if this was what Kreis wanted. Yes, I'll go. Good, said Kreis, pleased. That will help. Help what? She gave him a sly, sharp smile. Moff Gideon, she said, changing the subject. Spent a lot of time on Mandalore. He headed the ISB division there for years, did you know? Not exactly, Din said warily. I knew he was ISB and that he'd been involved in the purges, but... Kreis chuckled, a black sound. Involved, she said. He engineered them. Everything that was done to us was done on his orders. He studied us, you see. Spent... years hunting down odds and ends, information about us, our culture. He thought he was Mandalorian by the end. The hair on the back of Din's neck lifted. He wasn't, he said, fury rising to sting the back of his mouth again. No Mandalorian would hurt a child. No true Mandalorian, Kreis agreed. Something. Regret, Din thought, though it was gone too quickly for him to parse it. Flickered across her face. He called this ship the Runi. You know what that means? Since she'd asked him directly, Din could only shake his head. It's an old word, she said. Only the poets use it these days, and there aren't many of those left. It means the soul. It's an insult. He was given this ship, she explained, mouth twisting, as a reward for firing on Sindari. Oh, Din said. He couldn't think of anything else to add. Kreis lifted her chin. We've renamed it, she said. We call it the Gratua. Din's heart sank. He did know that word,
Boba had said it before. The vengeance, Din said. Kreese inclined her head. You're gathering Mandalorians to... What? Din said. Take revenge on Gideon? He's already dealt with. The New Republic has him. Kara said they'd put him on trial, and based on his service to the Empire, put him to death. Gideon wasn't the only one who watched my planet burn, said Kreese. Who ordered the death of all of my people. There's still vengeance to take. For all of us, she said. The intensity that hung about her like gravity was back. The conviction. Din could almost taste it, like forge iron hanging heavy in the air. Hot metal, fresh blood. His heart picked up despite itself. Your people were hunted the same as mine, Kreese said. The Empire didn't care that your creed was different. They didn't care if a Mandalorian was protector or Death Watch or neutral. You think that's enough to bring all of these different tribes together? Din asked, skeptical. The clans, the factions. Din couldn't imagine his Allur agreeing to tolerate other Mandalorians, no matter what she was promised. He couldn't imagine Boba agreeing to work with Death Watch. But Kreese just shrugged. I think it's an argument worth making, she said. It's worked already, some. 10 years ago, you wouldn't have seen a Cast or a Saxon on a Kree ship. 4 Mandalorians agreeing to follow you, and one of those as a hostage, Din added, tone sharp, doesn't make an army. I've got 5 who've signed on since you left, actually, Kree said. My nephew's running around here somewhere. My sister's son, she added, who was raised to be a pacifist. Who saw his planet burn, too, just like the rest of us. Don't underestimate vengeance as a motivator, Jaren. What would you have done if Gideon had killed your son? Killed him, Din admitted. Even the thought made rage curl up hot from underneath his ribs. Slowly. Kreese inclined her head. See, she said. Vengeance motivates. Vengeance motivates Mandalorians more than most. I think a gathering's worth a shot, anyway. And I want you there. I'll be there, Din said, shaking his head. But why? I'll tell you, she interrupted, before Din could get the question all the way out. At the summit. I'll tell everyone, all right? Kreese phrased it like a question, but it was an order. Din reluctantly backed off. His neck prickled again. He wondered what she wasn't telling him. Good, said Kreese, taking Din's silence, correctly, as submission. At least for now, Din thought. His thoughts were still whirling. He didn't want to be here anymore. He wanted to be back at the palace. He didn't want to be involved in this anymore. Din had no vengeance left to take against the Empire. The Empire destroyed the covert, he thought. It killed my brothers and sisters. But Din wasn't supposed to think of himself as part of the tribe anymore. He didn't have any vote. He'd lost his right to take revenge when he'd shown his face on Morak. But I swore I'd help Kreese. Are you staying with us? Kreese asked abruptly, drawing Din out of his thoughts. He blinked. Right now? She nodded. No, Din said. There's work to be done on Tatooine. I'll meet you on Cronest. Or I'll rendezvous with you somewhere before. I need to get back. Kreese, to her credit, didn't argue. She didn't have to. She'd gotten what she wanted, even if Din didn't fully understand what exactly that was. She just nodded. You need anything before you head back? Your med droid, if you can spare it, Din said. We have wounded. I only have 1 med droid, Kreese observed. Din gritted his teeth. Fett, he said, deciding as he spoke that Kreese probably wouldn't react well to Boba's other name, the King of Tatooine, and that, as Din had gotten through most of a conversation with her without her insulting Boba, Din didn't want to push her any farther, is willing to negotiate for it. Kreese studied him. That bad, huh? Din said nothing. As interested as I am in whatever Boba Fett might offer me, Kreese finally said, waving a dismissive hand.
It's yours. Take it. We have trained medics aboard now. Thank you, Din said, still wary. He was pretty sure that he was being bribed, but if it meant that he'd get to take the med droid... Kreez just inclined her head and rounded another corner. They'd gone in a large circle, well, a square, and were almost back to the war room. Din only knew that because Woves and Koska were in the hallway together, heads bent, talking quietly. Woves' hand was on Koska's hip. Oh, Din thought, filing that information away. He hadn't realized. They both looked up when Kreez brought Din down the hall. Woves had better control over his face than Koska. He only nodded at Kreez, while Koska's face opened up, relieved. There, Kreez said, smiling a little. He's in one piece, like I said. Well, Woves asked. He looked between Din and Kreez, expression expectant. Jaren'll meet us on Crownest in a month's time, Kreez said. Woves nodded again. Koska grinned. Great, she said. Anyway, Bo, Axe and I were talking, and... Kreez held up her hand. Tell me later, she advised. She tilted her head at Din. He's got to go back planetside. They're wounded on Tatooine. He's gonna take the med droid. Oh. Some of Koska's good humor faded, replaced by a serious and competent warrior. You remember where the med bay is, Jaren? I could use a refresher, Din admitted. Koska nodded. I'll take you then, she said. Din said his goodbyes to Kreez and Woves both, a companionable nod at Woves, who didn't seem to feel the need to talk much, and a more formal retour-chemie at Kreez once Din had figured out what she was saying through a thick accent, and let Koska guide him to the medbay. She didn't even hound him with too many questions, which Din appreciated. Her concern had tilted over to the wounded on Tatooine, and to Din once she realized that Din had taken a few hits during the raid, too. The medroid, T-6, was the same one that had treated Din after his fight with the Dark Trooper. It was about as thrilled to see Din as Din was to see it, but it took orders from Koska well enough, and within a few minutes, Din had the droid deactivated and charging in the fly's cargo bay, lifting a hand to Koska through the viewport as he nosed the fly up and out of the light cruiser. The Gratua, he thought, head spinning. Koska hadn't paraded him in front of the other Mandalorians again, which Din appreciated. He was exhausted, and he'd spent less than an hour on the light cruiser. This summit Kreez is organizing, he thought, will be interesting. Din would have to tell Paz about it. He'd have to... Din didn't think that Paz or anyone who followed the Creed would care what Kreez had to say, would be swayed by her idea of vengeance. But they still deserved the chance to be heard. If Kreez was convening a meeting of all the Mandalorians she could find... My people are Mandalorians, too, he thought. They think they're the only Mandalorians, but... But maybe if they met others, he thought, they'd think differently. Din hadn't met a Mandalorian outside of his covert until he'd met Kreez on Trask. He'd been his covert's Baraya, the only one to leave, to have a chance to meet others. If he hadn't met another Mandalorian until after he'd lost the covert on Navarro, he knew that none of the others had ever met a Mandalorian with a different way, either. They deserve the chance to, he thought, to decide who they want to be, same as the rest of the Mandalorians. My head hurts. Din aimed for the red dust of Tatooine and put the fly on autopilot again, pushing his helmet back against his forehead. It dug reassuringly into the bridge of his nose. He supposed that he could boot up T-6 and have it checked in over. Din's hasty patch job with the Bacta wasn't going to last forever after all, and he knew that if Boba saw it, he'd be upset. But the effort compared to the trip wasn't worth it. Din pushed his confusion away, exhaustion throbbing behind his teeth, and focused on making it back to the palace without wrecking the fly. He did manage it, bringing the fly down through Tatooine's atmosphere towards the palace as it grew and grew in the viewport. The palace was still standing, which was good. Gorga hadn't managed to bomb it into orbit while Din had been gone. The scraps of the two hunter-killers were still lying in the sand, but the fires had been put out. No one shot Din down as he made his approach, and he landed in his usual spot, booting up T-6 and instructing the droid, curtly, to follow him. The Nuxen had finally been relieved of duty.
Kasik was guarding the landing pad, and when Din saw him whole and alive, his heart loosened a little. He hadn't even realized that he'd been worried about Kasik. Din was glad the big Wookiee was okay. He said as much, too, letting Kasik call out to him and pull him into a rough hug. Din winced when Kasik jarred his sore side, but didn't protest. "You all right?" Din asked when Kasik had finally let him up for air. "I brought a medroid." "I'm fine," Kasik assured Din, eyeing the droid mistrustfully. "Where'd you find a droid?" "Borrowed it from a friend," Din said. He liked Koska well enough to call her his friend, even though the droid was technically Kreese's. "You're sure you're all right?" Kasik nodded. "Nora's watching the throne room," he said. "The worst hurt are in there." "That's where we'll go, then," said Din. "If you change your mind, come find me. T6 here is on loan indefinitely."
"At your service," T6 chirped obligingly.
Din found the throne room, passing half a dozen other palace guards as he did so. Everyone was singed or hastily patched up, back to patches slapped over split eyebrows or broken noses, but no one that Din passed looked like they were in any danger of dying. He found the throne room under Nura's watchful eye, like Kasik had said he would. T6 immediately found someone in need of care. Theron, who was still alive but nursing a large black burn across one shoulder. Din left the droid to it and went over to Nora, peeling his helmet off as he did so. She smiled to see him, though the smile was strained and watery. Her blue skin was darkened under one cheek by a nasty bruise, and one of her laku was burned at the tip. But other than that, she looked all right. One of her massive blasters was propped up against the bar, and she'd been sorting medical supplies when Din approached. "Din," she said, sounding relieved. "You're okay." "I'm all right," Din assured her. He looked around. Most of the dead raiders had been dragged out of the throne room. Din didn't know where they'd gone, but he was glad that he didn't have to see them. "How bad is it for everyone else?"
"We lost 3, she said. "And Fennec's gonna be down for a few days.
Ushib's with her," she added, catching sight of Din's startled expression. Fennec had always been untouchable. Even when she'd been freshly injured, she'd seemed implacable.
"But I'm okay, and the boss is okay, and..."
"And it's gonna be okay," Din finished, gently. He wasn't very good at offering comfort, but he could at least reassure Nora for today. "Gorga lost, this time at least. We survived. It's gonna be all right." Nora gave Din another watery smile.
"Yeah," she said, though she didn't sound convinced.
"I know." Din helped her finish sorting up piles of Bacta, then went around the room with her, helping T6, who Nora was delighted to see, triage the most badly injured. Theron was probably going to need cybernetics in his shoulder, and another human guard named Keto had lost an eye, but most everyone else had only a few blaster burns or broken bones. Nora filled Din in on what he'd missed. While Din had been on the Gratua, Boba had taken those who could still stand and gone through the palace room by room. They'd caught and killed a few more of Gorgas. Apparently only one attacker, the Rodian Din had stunned early on in the fight, had been allowed to live. The Rodian was currently in the bottom of Jabba's dungeons, waiting for Boba's less-than-pleased attention. Din had winced at that. The Rodian would not, Din thought, leave the palace alive. Ushib had taken the worst off down to what served as the palace's infirmary, including Fennec. Fennec had apparently protested quite a bit, until she'd tried to prove that she was fine and had fallen on her face. Then she conceded to visit the infirmary. "Your people are okay, too," Nora said, as she and Din finished distributing the Bacta patches. "The boss said he'd check on them before he went upstairs to call in some favors."
"Some favors?" Din asked, trying to hide his naked relief at the news that Zhag and the others were okay.
He would have to move them sooner rather than later. Din would need to make a trip out to Mos Pelgo soon. Nora nodded, her unburned leku twitching.
"He wouldn't say who with," she said, "but that's where he went after he made sure the palace was secure."
Din nodded slowly. "All right," he said. "Then when we're done here..."
"You can go see him now, sweetheart," Nora said gently. "You don't have to stay down here with me." I'm helping, Din protested. Nora smiled at him. Me and T6 can manage from here. Right, T? She asked.
Despite the fact that Nora had never met Moff Gideon's former medical droid, T6 had taken a shine to her immediately, because Nora took T6 seriously.
We can manage quite well, Master Mandalorian,
T6 chirped, bent over a male Twi'lek who'd lost the top of one of his ears to a blaster bolt.
If you're sure you don't require medical attention.
Din started. Nora caught his gaze and held it. Din sighed. I could use some medical attention, he muttered irritably. 15 minutes later, his ears still ringing with Nora and T6's admonishments. Neither had been particularly impressed with the hole in Din's side, or his patch job. Din was slotting his armor back into place, wound glued and slathered with fresh Bacta, on his way up to Boba's tower. He'd wanted to go see Fennec, but Nora told him that Ushi was not the sort to let visitors into her infirmary. T6 would go down once he'd finished with the injured in the throne room and offer his services. Din climbed into the first lift, crossed the hall at the top, and then into the second lift. He didn't bother stopping at his rooms. He just wanted to see Boba. Nothing was going to happen, Din knew. They might have talked tonight, might have set new rules, explored something different, if Gorga hadn't attacked, but he had. Din just wanted to check in to make sure that Boba was all right, and then he wanted to sleep for a year or two. The lift opened into Boba's rooms with its usual soft chime, and Din found Boba stripped of his armor, flipping through one of his data pads with a faint frown creasing his forehead. He looked up when Din came in, and his shoulders visibly dropped. Din, he said, voice warm. Survived the crate dragon, did you? Din snorted. She wasn't that bad, he said. Are you all right? He stepped fully into the room and looked Boba up and down, searching for any injuries. I'm fine, said Boba gruffly. This wasn't my worst day. Are you all right? I'm mending, Din said, debating whether or not he should try to hide the hole in his side from Boba. Boba's eyebrows went up. I said mending, Din emphasized, smiling despite himself. Been checked out by the med droid and everything. I got the all clear. Show me, Boba demanded. Din sighed. That was how he found himself mostly naked, stripped down to just a loose pair of pants, while Boba inspected Din's various scrapes, bruises, and the glued-over wound in his side. I was right, Din thought, as Boba made a variety of disgruntled noises and examined the edges of the injury very carefully. He's not happy. Boba looked all right, though. He'd shed his shirt, too, at Din's insistence. Din was tired of being the only one to take his clothes off in Boba's rooms, and let Din check him over. He had his share of bruises, too, but Din didn't think Boba had ever lost his feet. The worst was a fist-shaped bruise at the edge of Boba's right side. He'd taken a punch at the very edge of his Beskar, and purple knuckles were stamped dark and ugly into his skin. The Deveronian? Din asked, reaching out to trace the edge of the bruise. Think so, Boba said, finally pulling away. He didn't look happy, but he couldn't really complain about T6's work. He was a big bastard. You did for him, didn't you? Din nodded. He tilted his head in the direction of his heap of armor and clothes, where the darksaber was lost somewhere underneath Din's cuirass. He's dead, Din assured Boba. Boba grunted. Good. He do this? He reached up and traced the red marks on Din's throat. Din shivered at the touch. He couldn't help it. His body had come to expect pain when Boba touched it. And comfort, and pleasure. Din wanted all three. He let Boba explore. At least he doesn't want to talk about what happened on the light cruiser with Bo-Katan, Din thought wryly. He would tell Boba what had happened. Kreez hadn't asked Din not to tell Boba after all, and had in fact told Din to pass the news of the clan summit to his people, but he thought that it could wait until morning. Din would much rather do this. He did, Din confirmed. Boba made a rough noise in the back of his throat, half a growl. It's a good thing you killed him, then, said Boba, because I would have made him suffer. Din reached up and caught Boba's hand in one of his own. I'm fine, Din promised. Really, like I said, T6 checked me out. I'm fine.
Boba pulled his fingers away from Din's bruised throat and brushed a thumb down the edge of the flexi wrap covering Din's side.
This does, he said, tone softening into something almost wistful. Put a bit of a damper on my plans.
Din's heart skipped.
Plans? He said carefully.
Yeah, said Boba, one corner of his mouth turned up. Before a bomb went off in my throne room, I did have plans for tonight.
What kind of plans? Din asked before he could stop himself.
Boba wanted him to ask. Din could see it in the amused glitter in Boba's eyes.
You had a few ideas?
Boba studied Din for a minute.
Din let him. There was no point in hiding from Boba. His heartbeat steadied. They weren't going to do anything strenuous. Din knew that. He knew that they were both tired, and he knew that Boba wouldn't want to lay bruises into Din while Din was injured like this. I should have stabbed that Deveronian a second time, he thought, disgruntled. It wouldn't have done anything to the Deveronian. He had already been dead when Din had activated the Darksaber and the blade had gone through his chest. But it would have made Din feel better.
Boba straightened and left Din sitting in his usual stool, chill bumps rising on his skin. The breeze coming in off the desert was sweet and cool. Anticipation made Din's breath catch in his chest. Boba vanished around the pillar supporting his ceiling. Din heard him rummaging around. It sounded like Boba tugged one of his crates out from underneath his bed. Din's heartbeat picked up again. Boba returned a moment later, and Din tried not to look too eager, though he was sure Boba could read his expression anyway. Boba had something in his hands. Din couldn't really see what it was, so he knew it wasn't one of the floggers or one of Boba's larger toys.
"Give me your hands," Boba said.
Din obliged, holding his hands out, palms up for Boba.
Boba smiled.
"You asked me a question," he said.
"What was it?"
Din swallowed.
"I asked," he said, his voice hoarse, "if you had an idea for how you wanted to spend the night."
"Yeah," Boba said. He laid a long, pale strip of Wishuk silk across Din's offered hands. The texture was smooth and deceptively soft.
Din shivered.
"I did have a few ideas."